I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 24. I think it behooves us to take a look and refresh our minds, our memories on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, what to expect. You know, when you have a procedure that is needing to be done on your body or within your body, some sort of a procedure, one of the first things I do, like when I was going to have my back surgery, it's supposed to be extensive back surgery, and it's going to take a long time to heal up from it, I suddenly started noticing everybody, like in the grocery store, who walked by or that I saw that had a brace on that showed me that, because I knew then that that they had already had back surgery. I talked to some of those people, you know, try to be friendly and, you know, see if they'd talk and find out, how did it go? What did you have done? How's the healing process been going and so forth? And when you know you're going to have a procedure done, even a colonoscopy, if you've never had one before, I'll guarantee you, you're going to hear someone somewhere say something about it, or you're going to ask someone about it. Hey, you ever had one? Hey, should I expect? And those people or that person is going to tell you their experience. Now, you hope that you don't get a hold of somebody that the first one you get a hold of tells you the horrible horror stories of some procedure that they had done, and to them it was just a horrible horror story. You hope you get a hold of someone that says, oh, and it was nothing to it. It wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be so bad. I didn't even know what was going on. It was as simple as could be. Got over, went right back to work, and so forth and so on. But then you think, okay, well, there's nothing to it. And you go in and you find out, oh, man, I can't go back to work for 3 days until I get straightened out and so forth. But we want to check with other people. We want to know. We want to get some forewarning, you know, to be prepared. Because most of us don't want to just walk into something unprepared, not knowing what's going on. And I think that was Jesus' motive for giving to us what is now in our Bible, the 24th chapter of Matthew. Because in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to his disciples. They leave the upper room, the Last Supper, and as they're walking out, the disciples start asking him some questions about, look how beautiful, isn't it wonderful, how great, how awesome the temple of the Lord is, in the great city of Jerusalem. To which Jesus replied something to them, and that stirred them wanting to know, hey, whoa, if something like this is going to happen, they had some questions they wanted to ask. And one of the key things that Jesus told them is, watch out. Watch out. I think those are a couple of key words for Matthew 24 and many other places in Scripture, is that our Lord and Savior said, watch out. Now, I'll tell you, you go into the woods with somebody like to hunt or to go fishing or something. I had an uncle who was the world's worst. You did not want to follow him through the woods because you'd have limbs in your face. You'd have bruises and scratches and scrapes because he would walk through and pull the limbs in front of him as he walked through them and then just let them go. He'd be talking away and just in his own little world, and nobody followed within 15 feet of this guy, my uncle, because you knew what would happen to you if you did, because he'd be in his own little world talking whatever as you're walking through hunting to go to your hunting grounds or to go fishing the right place through the woods, and whop, get one right in the face and scratch you all up, bruise you up and so forth. Oh, sorry about that. And then he'd just go on, keep it doing it, you know. So me and my cousins, his two sons, and our other cousins that would go hunting and fishing at times with him and my dad, we all would laugh about it. Okay, which one's going to get hurt and bruised by Uncle Clyde this week? You know, because he just didn't say any. He didn't even say anything. He just you get it right in the face. And so the rest of us following through, and if one of us would forget about this and the way Uncle Clyde did, we'd start yelling, watch out, watch out, watch out, to look out for those limbs that we knew that our Uncle Clyde and their dad would do to you when he got into his own little world when he's talking. And Jesus uses those words or that phrase for us, and he says, watch out. Now, in order to watch out, what do you have to do? Someone yells, watch out. What do? Usually the first thing you do is you go like this, don't you? You put your hands up and you kind of duck like this. So actually, Jesus is telling you and me, and he's saying, watch out. And we're supposed to duck. And how do we duck? How do we raise our hands and duck, cover ourselves, duck and cover? It might be through prayer. It might be through our attendance with fellow believers. what we call church, going to church, which is really going to be with the church to worship God, to have fellowship for one another. That's what going to church is about. I've had people to ask me from time to time through the years, well, who invented this church business anyway? I just don't believe in this church business. Well, his name was Jesus. And he said that this church is my bride, and when I return, I will take my bride to be with me. You don't want to be part of his bride? No, people just don't realize. Church is not just some man-made thing. It was created by our Lord Jesus Christ to be a fellowship of the children of God, that we might worship God together and be a family of believers, the children of God together, and to look forward to that day when Christ shall return, the Son of God, and we shall be like him. But we're told in Scripture and by Christ's own words that those who are not in him when he returns shall be cast off like the limbs that are up in the trees we talked about a couple weeks ago. You find dead limbs up in the trees, you got to watch out for those sometimes too. And I'm always telling my grandchildren, because we got a lot of big trees around the house, on a windy day, you watch out. You look up before you come and play outside, because there may be a limb up there that's come loose. It's just laying up there. So you look through the trees first before you go playing underneath the trees when the wind's blowing really hard. You watch out. And so they sometimes they remember, and I'll see them out there looking up in there, and they look up, Papa, Papa, there's a limb. And so they come and tell me about it. We're to be like that as the children of God, helping others, telling and reminding each other, watch out and look for the things that we're told to look for. And so in Matthew 24, I'm going to read a goodly portion of Matthew 24. Most of this morning is going to be reading from Scripture. So turn, if you will, to Matthew 24. Verse 1 in Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. If you were walking along out in your yard, around your house, looking at the flowers with a friend or relative had come to visit with you, and they said, see your beautiful house here? It's going to burn down. I know that. I happen to know that it's going to burn down. You're not going to have one shingle left on top of the other. It's going to be gone. It would probably kind of startle you a little bit. Well, what are you talking about? Do you know something I don't know? And in a sense, that's what the disciples were saying. You know something we don't know? Tell us about this. Because I'm sure that's what you would say to the person who would say that about your house. Well, what, do you know something I don't? Is there a group of or a gang or something that's supposed to be coming out here? Is there a threat on my house? What's going on? And so the disciples basically asked him that. So as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Now see what happened. They left the upper room. They're walking out. They go across the valley into the Kidron Valley, just a little ways away, probably a couple miles walk over to it. And they go over to the Mount of Olives. So Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives at that point. The disciples probably walked along behind him and talking, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? Does he know something we don't know? And so he's sitting there now on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, probably left all the other followers and came to him privately. Lord, while we're together here, tell us, they said, when will this happen? What was it? That not one stone be left on the other, it'd all be destroyed? When will this happen? They ask him. And then they ask another question. And what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of your coming? And then another question they ask is, and of the end of the age? So three questions that they're basically asking him. And then Jesus answered in verse 4, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, I've heard some explain that maybe what's really being said here is Jesus is saying, many will come in my name and claim that I am the Christ. But watch out. So many will come in my name and claim that they are the Christ. Many will come in my name and claim that I am the Christ. And then they will deceive you. I believe, folks, that there are people in this world that are against Christ and against God who fully believe that at some point in time, this Christ will return. And they're doing their best to deceive people because they think, all I've got is this life. I'm never going to be saved anyway. Give me the gusto. And so embezzle, do whatever you have to do to get everything. People, in the name of Christ, deceiving others. Business people, you know, it's all right to go to a particular church and have the connections and so forth to other people, and which helps your business and so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. But when a person deliberately goes to a particular church because they know this is going to be great for my business, does that fall under that category? Many will come in my name claiming I am Christ, but watch out. So for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Anybody ever heard any of those in the last 10, 12 years? Anybody hear them in the last 10, 12 hours, 10, 12 minutes, maybe? If you had your radio on, you probably did. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. You realize we have nations in this world. Nations like the United States is a nation. Britain is a nation. Well, actually, it's a kingdom. But there are others, like in the Middle East. Many of those Middle Eastern Arab countries are kingdoms. They're kingdoms. So nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, meaning the entire globe, the entire world. All these are the beginnings of the birth pains. This is just the beginning when you see all this stuff happening everywhere globally. Now, last Sunday evening, I think it was just last Sunday evening. Seems like a month's gone by since last Sunday. But last Sunday evening, we watched a video. And I told you, Keith, what's the title of it again?
A Nation Adrift.
A Nation Adrift. Those of us who were here, I think, I know I did. I really enjoyed viewing that. A lot of scary things, a lot of interesting things, exciting things in that, looking at the history of America and Christianity and what's going on in the world. Up until this time, the background and the history of some of the organizations that are out in the forefront here in America, lobbying and so forth here in America. That evening, when I left here by myself, turned out all the lights, shut everything off, went out to my truck, my radio was on, and it was on Wood Radio. And I don't know whose program it was Sunday night, but those of you who were here Sunday night and you remember how the atmosphere was when we left here after the two or three times we prayed and so forth and had some discussion, I got in my truck, turned it on, and the radio was already on. It was on pretty loud. And it was a guest who was a seismologist, not just a seismologist. You might say the seismologist, one of the most profound, I guess, and famous in the world. He's from here in the States. And the thing that they were talking about was his background as a seismologist and how closely he has predicted by reading the seismic rules and so forth, machines and so forth, over the past 15 years or so, 12 to 15 years, how close within days he has predicted some of the major earthquakes around the world. And he said, we know that as in seismology, we know that when the ocean's tides are at their highest tide, because the ocean's tide isn't always, like on the West Coast, comes up 3 feet and then goes back out. Comes up 3 feet, goes back out. It might come up 3 feet, but where is that 3 foot level at? And what he was saying is that the normal, these high tides at times, he said a 9.2 foot high tide that would then crest with its normal tide would cause great destruction. And we know that when that happens, we have some of the great earthquakes. The earthquakes out in San Francisco back a few years ago after we first moved here, LA, other places around the world, Japan. And he said this December, we're expecting at least a 9.1 foot on the tidal structure. And he said this will affect the west coast of this continent and many other coastal areas around the world. And he said that they came within 3 days of the great Iranian earthquake that just happened here just a couple weeks ago. There was an earthquake. And so he was saying that we know that this is going to take place. We're showing how this is happening. We're watching activity worldwide. There's more activity on the fault lines around the world. And he said this December, the end of December, watch and see what takes place if there aren't earthquakes all around the world, perhaps more than we've ever seen. Now, we know this is predictions, and it's a seismologist. He may be totally off, may be totally wrong. It may be that God's going to say, I'm not going to let you be right this time. And then again, with on top of everything we've witnessed in the video and so forth in our discussions that followed, and then to hear this on the way home, it was like, maybe I better get my boat tied to my front porch and get my life jackets out. You know, what's going to happen here? But the Lord has told us to watch out. So we need to be watching. We don't want to be running around like chickens with our heads cut off, you know, banging into everything and just lose control. We need to keep ourselves focused on the fact that we know who's going to win. We know that the promises of God are going to be fulfilled. So all these are the beginning of birth pains, he says. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. All people who stay attached to Jesus Christ will be hated because of Jesus Christ. You already see that today, don't you? I see it today. I see it quite often in articles and news and things that are going on. Over in Kenya, over 300 Christian churches have been burnt out, and pastors and deacons and church leaders have been killed over the last 3 or 4 years. We've been watching it going on. It's not only there, it's in other places around the world. I hate to mention it, but the Islamists of this world are rising up against Christians wherever they find them, against Buddhists wherever they find them. They're rising up, and they are persecuting those who would hold on to this Jesus. It says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and even hate each other. The church, in the church, will betray each other and hate each other. Turn each other in because the world's laws have changed. And now it's illegal to do this or to say that or to go here or to go there or to possess this. And people betraying one another and hating one another. All because of me. So people will turn from the faith. And verse 11, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You realize that over the last 200 years, since 1798, the gospel has been preached all over the world and put into written form, our Bibles, in and I think just about every language in the world. There are billions of Bible books, the Bible, all around this world. 21, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. You hear these people talk about how that mankind is going to totally destroy himself. God's not going to allow that to happen. God's not going to allow man to destroy himself. God reserves that right to himself, to destroy the wickedness of man that do not turn to him. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here he is, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Even the elect, if they were possible to be deceived. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out there. Or here he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. You ever been in a really, really heavy lightning storm that just seemed like daylight, just flickering daylight constantly? Not just a bang here and a little bit later a bang there, but just it's awe-inspiring. You know, it's unbelievable. It's frightening. It's scary. But it's also awe-inspiring as well. So for as lightning comes from the east, visible in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. No one's going to have to tell you, Doris, oh, by the way, Jesus Christ came last night. I want to take you to meet him. Oh, he did. I don't think that's him. There's going to be a great white horse that a prophet is going to ride in on, and people are going to say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And then later, Jesus is going to show up, and people are going to say, oh, we've been deceived. Oh, my Lord, People are going to be deceived. Verse 29, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Folks, I know that there are different thoughts, beliefs, and opinions on when Christ will come. If it will be before the great tribulation that hits mankind, or in the middle of it, 3.5 years into that 7-year period of tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation. You know, and I've shared this with you, and you've heard it elsewhere, you know. I really do hope for that before the tribulation comes, that the Lord would come and call us out who are waiting for him. I pray that at least before it really gets bad, 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation, I really do pray that the Lord will call us out by then. But you know what? When I read Matthew 24, it tells me that I can hope and I can pray, but I'd better be prepared for post, because we're to suffer, folks. The Christians on this world are to suffer and be hated because of Jesus Christ. I hope for pre, I pray for mid, and I'd better prepare for post and be ready to go through 7 years of tribulation before Christ breaks through the blue, the hole in the sky, to give us our reward. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in that days of Noah, of the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and doing their thing until Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. No one will understand and fully understand and know what it's going to be, but when it happens, they're going to know it. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. The master is going to say, wow, you know, these people are still working. Nothing worse than working a job alongside someone else and they stop and piddle around, do this, that, and the other all the time. And then the minute the boss comes in, they've got the energy because they've been sloughing off to look like they've just got 10 times the energy you do, who's been picking up their slack the whole morning or the afternoon, and the boss walks through and now they look like, you know, they're real impressed, trying to be real impressive to the boss who's walking through, or the manager or the owner of the company or whatever. And, you know, that kind of thing happens. The Lord is not going to be deceived. The Lord knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows our very thoughts. He knows everything about us. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. He who is doing what the Lord has given him to do and to be and to live, in that faith, he will give them a reward. Signs in the sky, Jesus mentioned. Signs in the heavens. Acts 2:19 and 20 says, I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of that great and glorious day of the Lord. Signs on the earth. Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear. Mark 13:19, for in those days shall be affliction. Affliction will be taking place. In Revelation 16:18, a great earthquake such as not since men were upon the earth. There is going to be a great earthquake that affects this whole world as has never been witnessed before by men before the coming day of the Lord. The return of Israel to their homeland in Palestine. We've been talking about that. Jeremiah 24:5, I will bring them again to this land and they shall be my people. Jeremiah 30, I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers. 31st chapter, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah. Ezekiel 36th chapter, and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. He's already done that, folks. We know that prophecies were fulfilled in this in 1948 when Israel became a nation again, the first time in thousands of years. The nations also, Israel, a nation, again in Palestine, is to be spoiled. So we know it's got to be in a nation, in its homeland, to be spoiled. Joel 3:2, all nations have parted my land. All nations have parted my land. All nations parted my land. 1948. Who was it that parted the land of Israel to give to the Palestinians, Arabs, and Jews? The United Nations. The nations together of this world, that prophecy was fulfilled. Ezekiel 38, against my people of Israel, it shall be in the latter days, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, my fury. And then Luke 21:20, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, desolation is nigh. So when you see Jerusalem encompassed about by great armies, of which they're building up as we speak and planning to come against Israel. Yom Kippur a few days ago, Israel had to scramble their fighter jets because there were aircraft coming in from Syria and that was coming awfully close to their border and coming straight toward them. And so they scrambled their jets, and then those jets flew back, went back. They thought Yom Kippur, this great war, was going to happen again on Yom Kippur, their high holy day. So in Luke 21:31, when you see these things come to pass, the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. The household of God. God called out ones are made up of all faithful of all ages, of all the ages. Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. We're to be of the same body with Israel when God calls them forward. Psalm 149, all his saints, he talks about. Acts 2:39, for the promises to you and your children, and for all those afar off, which is you and I. Romans 14:9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and received that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Hebrews 11:40 tells us, they had not received the promise that only together with us would they be made perfect. No one has had the gift of God, eternal life, immortality, but Jesus Christ the first, and those that are his at his coming. John 14, Jesus' own words. So therefore we must have faith, repent, be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit until the Lord comes. Acts 8:12, but when they believed the kingdom and of Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. 19, repent therefore and be converted. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. This is what the Lord tells us to watch out. The reasons for it and what he's telling us to watch out for.